proud to announce that the Olympic Games are coming back to the United States of America. In 2028, we're bringing the Games back to L.A.
There's Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, announcing on Monday that in 2028, the Olympics will be returning to L.A. for the first time since 1984. The days of cities making bids and that dramatic announcement of who gets to host seem to be over. Instead, L.A. has cut a deal, and this deal includes the International Olympic Committee giving the city's organizing committee almost $2 billion in funding. But not everybody is on board with the city hosting the event. Dave Zirin is sports editor for The Nation and host of the Edge of Sports podcast, and he's been covering the reactions to the announcement in L.A. Dave, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Dave, what are people saying about what this means for L.A.? We heard from Mayor Garcetti there, who's excited and worked to get the deal. What are Garcetti and his supporters saying?
What we're hearing about what this bid will bring really depends on who you're talking to. Mayor Garcetti and his supporters are saying that when you bring the Olympics, what you're going to bring is a massive infusion of tourism, of jobs, and of public works projects that the city otherwise would not undertake, like revamping the city's transit system. Now, this all sounds terrific. The problem is, if you just replace Eric Garcetti with the mayors of places like Rio or Athens or London, I could have the same speeches verbatim almost, the only difference being the language in which they're spoken. And what we've seen in Olympic City after Olympic City is that the promises never meet the reality.
And you've been talking to a lot of people on your Edge of Sports podcast who are concerned that eventually Angelenos are going to pay the bill for this.
Absolutely. Los Angeles is a place right now. A lot of people, when they think of L.A., they think of the sprawling, massive L.A. county. But when you're talking about the city itself, you're talking about having more people living in poverty than any other major city in the United States. That's a statistical fact. And the highest rate of unhoused or chronically homeless people in the United States. In city after city, and like I said, I've covered every Olympics since 2004, you see the Olympics being an aggravator of these problems, not a solution to these problems, because usually also when an Olympic village gets built and Olympic facilities get built, they tend to be turned into housing in low-income neighborhoods that then serves to even further push marginalized people out of a city.
Well, LA has experience with this. They had the games in 1984. What does that experience teach us?
I'm glad you mentioned the 1984 Olympics. I mean, first and foremost, any Olympics that we discuss or analyze that took place before 9/11, it's an entirely different discussion because of the security demands that are placed on a city and the amount of money that needs to go into the militarization part of making an Olympic city safe. So 1984 to 2028, apples and oranges, different worlds. But the second thing is, even with the relatively benign 1984 Olympics, you also saw at those games an incredible police militarization program led by Police Chief Daryl Gates, the explosion of Daryl Gates' Operation Hammer, which went into neighborhoods to arrest people and preemptively arrest particularly young black men. For the purposes of making the city, quote unquote, like presentable for the Olympics. And there's a strong case to be made that the 1984 LA Olympics were an aggravator leading up to the 1992 LA riots. And so, you know, if that's the kind of dystopic future that people in Los Angeles want, then yes, by all means, support the Olympics.
The mayor is thrilled. A lot of powerful people in LA are thrilled, and a lot of regular Angelenos are not. Dave Zirin, sports editor for The Nation and host of the Edge of Sports podcast. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.